Welcome back to another session of Into the Word, and we will be getting back into the book of Revelation chapter 15 in just a little bit. First, I want to kind of continue down the little speculative track that I started last session, and I want to kind of finish it out and leave some more things for you to chew on. Now, before I say another word, though, I want to remind you again, I am not a prophet. Nor am I the son of a prophet. That's Amos that said that. But I want you to understand, none of what I'm about to say comes from a conviction that I speak for God, that I have had visions, that I have had dreams, and some sort of supernatural infusion, and I'm telling you, this is definitely the way it will be, because that is not the case. And so I want you to have that clear in your head about what I'm going to say next. It's just me speculating based on my Bible studies. And none of you should ever make the claim that Thomas predicted the exact day of Jesus' return, because I'm not predicting, I'm just suggesting. Okay? So here's the deal. I was talking about the Jewish calendar yesterday and how Jesus fulfilled on the exact day of the Jewish calendar everything that was symbolic within those festival days about his activities. So he was the Passover lamb designate on the 10th day of the first Jewish month. That's the day we call the triumphal entry. He came into Jerusalem as the Passover lamb that day. 4 days later, on the 14th day of that same Jewish month, Jesus died on the cross at the same time Passover lambs were being butchered by many of the Jewish people. So Jesus became the final Passover lamb on the day of Passover. 3 days later, on the first day of the week that fell during unleavened bread, the day that is called the Feast of First Fruits, Jesus arose as the first fruits of the permanently resurrected dead. And Paul actually talks about Jesus being our first fruits as well as being our Passover. And so that happened. Every aspect of that first mandatory festival period for the Jewish people was fulfilled by Jesus on the day of the Jewish calendar that it fell on. 50 days after his resurrection was Pentecost, because you start a count on the day of first fruits, you start a count of 50. It's 7 weeks plus one more day to fill that 7 week period out so that you come back to a Sunday. It's Pentecost always falls on a Sunday. And so that Pentecost feast was all about beginning the wheat harvest. The wheat harvest could not start until Pentecost arrived. Something I didn't mention last time, though, is that Pentecost was also a reminder to the Jewish people of this is the day we entered into the covenant with God at Mount Sinai. It was the day that God spoke from Mount Sinai and the Jewish people agreed to enter into that covenant. So what happened on Pentecost in the year of Jesus' death and resurrection? That's the day that the church began. That's the day that 3,000 individuals heard the gospel for the very first time and responded to it. They were immersed into the death and resurrection and became the believers in the resurrected Lord and Savior. And so they became the first part of the harvest of souls into the church. And in addition, It is the first day of the new covenant. So that happened exactly on the day of Pentecost. So at this point, two out of three of the mandatory Jewish festivals on their Jewish calendar have been fulfilled by Jesus and his Holy Spirit work on the exact day of the calendar that they were symbolizing. That leaves only the Feast of Tabernacles. And what I was sharing with you as we closed up last time is that in the New Testament, there is no Jesus or Holy Spirit fulfillment of tabernacles. But in the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, the Feast of Tabernacles is mentioned very key to what we would refer to as the millennial period. And the chapters preceding that, chapter 12, 13, first part of 14, is all about the day of the Lord and the second coming of Jesus and the battle of Armageddon. So it seems as if there's at least a chance in my mind that the events we've been talking about from the book of Revelation will take place in connection with the seventh Jewish month and those mandatory festivals or observances. Now, I shared with you that the Feast of Tabernacles is all about the harvest is in, let us celebrate God. Let us celebrate fellowship with God's people. That happens on the 15th through the 21st, and then there's another big day on the 22nd of the seventh Jewish month. It's in the fall. But it is preceded by two other key events in the seventh month. The first day of the seventh month is the Feast of Trumpets. And trumpets are sounded all over Israel because a new agricultural cycle is going to begin with the seventh month. And so that's being announced. And land contracts and serving contracts all change over to a new cycle as the seventh month begins. And so you even hear about the trumpet of freedom being sounded in the seventh month. So my question and my speculation is, wouldn't it be interesting if the final mandatory Jewish observance is also fulfilled exactly on the days of the symbol being fulfilled? And so Feast of Trumpets, wouldn't it be interesting if that's the day of Jesus' return, on the first day of the seventh Jewish month? And then wouldn't it be interesting that we would be in Jesus' eternal presence by the 15th of that month, and everything has been resolved so that the millennium is being kicked off by the middle of the month? But the thing that I left you hanging with last session is that between the Feast of Trumpets on the 1st and the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles on the 15th, there is a somber day. The 10th day of the 7th Jewish month is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And it was the day every year that every Jewish person was supposed to somberly consider that without the sacrificial system, there would be no forgiveness, and every sinner would therefore have to pay for their sin themselves. And of course, the soul that sins shall die. The wages of sin is death. And so Yom Kippur is all about realizing without salvation that comes through sacrifice, I have nothing but judgment and condemnation ahead of me. And so I wonder whether or not the fulfillment of Yom Kippur is going to happen on that exact day and fulfilled in what we're going to be talking about as the Battle of Armageddon, because that is effectively what that battle is all about. Those who have refused salvation in the name of Jesus, who have refused the Lamb and all His calls and all His warnings, those people will have to face their own judgment alone. They will die in and because of their sin. And so I wonder whether or not it will happen on that very day on the calendar. Now let's throw all those together. And again, I warn you, this is highly speculative. It should not be looked at as a prediction. I am not prophesying that it's going to happen this way. I'm just simply saying, what if? Is it possible? Now, we have been dealing with the idea that the day of the Lord lasts 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,270 total days. And if that is the case, and we can kind of bring together what I was just talking about, that perhaps Jesus would have the trumpet call happen on the seventh, on the first day of the seventh month, that means that the first 6 months previous to that could be the 6 months of our 3.5 year period. And then the previous 3 years to that could be the 3 years, which means that the 3.5 year period could in fact start on the first day of the first Jewish month in the spring, and everything could fall into place perfectly. And it would go something like this. On the first day of the first month of the first year of the 3.5, the sixth seal would be broken. The sun would go dark, the moon would go blood red, and the stars of the sky, specifically we're thinking about the angels of Satan and himself, will be falling from the sky. And, of course, that is going to be chaos. And any type of governmental entity falls apart on that particular day. But we would also know that somewhere on planet Earth, probably in the Middle East, I think probably at or near Jerusalem, the two witnesses will begin their 1,260-day ministry. That's just 10 days shy of 3.5 years on a Jewish calendar. And so during that first year of the 3.5, I would suspect that the 10 horn leaders of that final beast government will begin their rise to power. They will get together and come up with a plan to bring order back out of the chaos. And in the process, they will have this 11th horn, this beast leader, rise up. He'll apparently compromise or somehow utilize three of the horn leaders, but he will eventually rise as the leader of this last government that will become the puppet of the dragon, that is, of Satan. And he will be assisted by a false prophet, false religion. And I wonder whether or not it might be a false leader from other religions as well that wants to cooperate with a brand new government coming up out of the chaos. During that year and the following year and most of maybe the third year, I think the beast leader would be consolidating his power base, trying to expand the areas that he's in control of. And you've already heard my suggestion. I think he's going to be probably in the Mediterranean basin somewhere, And I think he might actually be headquartered out of Rome to begin with. Now, what's going to be going on with the two witnesses? Well, they're protecting some element of Messianic Judaism, I think, there at Jerusalem. And I think they might also be rising up the 144,000 young men, virgins, that become the countdown clock of God heading toward final wrath. And so we're seeing two groups kind of digging in and establishing themselves in the story during the first, second, and third year of the 3.5 years. And then toward probably the latter portion of year 3, I think that's when the Mark of the Beast system and its associated image, I think that's when that's going to all be worked on and talked about. And by the time the third anniversary of the breaking of the sixth seal rolls around, that is at the beginning of the fourth year, I think that's when the beast leader's government starts making the announcements of, we're in control, we're bringing peace, we're bringing security back online, we are all for planet Earth and the people living here, and we need everybody to be on the same page and have their allegiance to our dear leader who's trying to look out for us. And you can see his image and interact with it by using this mark on your hand or using your forehead. And I think that that's the way it's going to be sold, is it's us against them. Now, I haven't mentioned it before, but I will now. I think that when Satan and his angels get marooned here, when they are knocked out of their heavenly dimension into our earthly dimension, it is likely that they will fall back on a cover story that I'm already hearing in a lot of fictional material being accepted as reasonable. And that is that Satan and his angels being marooned here are going to plead that they are alien beings that in the past have been mistaken or treated as if they were gods. And that in fact, they are so advanced in their culture that they have been the origin of human intelligent life. That they are the creators of humanity, and they have come back into the area to assist us in moving forward into the next part of our evolutionary progress. And that in the process of doing that, I think Satan and his angels will claim that there are bad actors working against those interests, and that those bad actors caused them to crash land here on planet Earth, and that those bad actors are coming in a short period of time to actually invade and put everybody under their boot and tyrannize them. And so I think that's exactly how it's going to be played out in this scenario between the two groups. And of course, Jesus is going to be portrayed as the bad guy that's coming. And the dragon will be portrayed. He and his minions will be portrayed as the good aliens, the good former gods of creation here to help us. And therefore, all of planet Earth needs to get behind the beast leader and his government and support an operation to barricade planet Earth against the coming invasion. Now, that may sound pretty wild, but that is a plot line that we've seen in things like many science fiction stories, but you'll see that plot line most recently in the last Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skulls. It was the aliens that created us are back and looking to help us to evolve. We see it in games, video games. That is part of the plot line of evil versus good. Evil needs to be fought against. And unfortunately, it's almost topsy-turvy, where it's the agents of God are portrayed as the bad guys because they're trying to stifle your freedom. And again, we'll see outside of the framework of fiction, some people saying that they believe in aliens and they think that the aliens may in fact have been some of our past gods and goddesses and that they helped rise us up out of, you know, our former evolutionary state as these primitive hominids, and they advanced us into our current state as Homo sapiens sapien, and eventually they're going to come back and bring us even farther along, and we need to be looking out for them and helping them when they come. So I believe that is what will be the crisis point. And people will be told, take the mark or die. Take the mark or you are a traitor to humankind. And so many people will take the mark. Now, they'll take it mark voluntarily. It can't be forced in the sense that you have to be in agreement in your mind with the purposes of it. Or it doesn't really count for anything. So I believe that the crisis point will probably happen right at the beginning of that third year. And then you've already seen that part of the final seven wrath events takes as much as 5 months. And so I believe that last 6 months will be associated with God pouring out his wrath until finally, probably just 10 days before the end of the sixth month on the Jewish calendar of that fourth year, that's when the two witnesses are killed. And then finally, as I've already suggested, the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, perhaps on the Feast of Trumpets. And then the Battle of Armageddon happens on the 10th. And then it's all finished, all of it resolved. And the millennial celebration can begin by the 15th of the seventh month in that fourth year that we have been talking about. All right, so that's an awful lot for me to throw on your plate to chew on, especially if it's the first time you've ever heard anything like that. I will finish with this reminder again. These are not prophecies by Thomas Short. These are simply musings. These are simply speculations. These are simply what ifs thrown out there to kind of bring a little bit of interest to the reality that the day of the Lord is the final 3.5 years right before Jesus comes back. And we know that the first time he came, he fulfilled everything exactly in accordance with Jewish special days. Is it possible that he'll wrap it all up in association with special Jewish days? If you got any questions, of course, you can contact me, comments, thomasjshort@comcast.net. Got about 3 minutes left, so we can start setting the stage for the final seven wrath events as they are described with the pouring out of the bowls. So Revelation 15:1, then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues. Now, don't think diseases with the word plague. Plague is actually a word for the blows of an instrument of punishment. So it's blows for corporal punishment, a spanking, if you will. And so these are seven swats of God against those that have taken the mark of the beast. Seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. So these are the final bits of God's wrath before Jesus comes back. I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire. When we saw the sea of glass earlier, we know that that was where all of the redeemed in the presence of Jesus already are standing. So it seems to be right there in front of the throne area. And the fire is got something to do with judgment, probably, that is being described here. But I also, those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. So now we see a lot of those people that had died rather than take the mark of the beast. So they are part of this final 3.5 year martyr group. They are now in the presence of God. So they have died. They have been killed. And blessed are those who die in the Lord from here on out, remember. And so these are another special group to themselves. And they have musical instruments. And it says they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations." So when we get back together next session, we are going to talk about these martyred saints and their special song of praise to the one who had redeemed them into this eternal state.